6:33, and we'll call the meeting to order. And I'll ask you to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'm going to call the roll. Adam, you're here. Ron, you're here.
Correct.
Bob Lisi? Oh, Bob, hang on. He just texted. I think Bob maybe doesn't have the new login.
I sent it to him.
I know, maybe he didn't.
No,
didn't see it? I don't know. Is anybody actually on Zoom? Can you tell me if when Bob comes on?
I am. Let you know.
All right, thanks.
Excuse me.
I'm just texting to Bob again to make sure he's got the login. Okay, he's not answering, so I'm going to continue. And I think he'll catch up shortly. I hope he does. So we're past roll call. We're at item number 4 on the agenda. That would be approval of the minutes. Well, you all know that we still don't have hard copies of the minutes. I know things are really difficult at City Hall. There are there's transcriptions of the audios on. Okay. I'm sorry, he's just texting me again. Let me give him the new code.
Lynn, I'll send it to him. You keep going.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. So there are transcriptions, and until we can get the hard copies, I'm going to move past this unless anybody has anything they want to say about that.
I'll make a motion to approve the waiving of the reading of the minutes.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Is there a second? I will second. I will second that. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. We're going to item number 5, additions, deletions, corrections. Because this is a special meeting, none are allowed. So we're going to move on to public portion. Is there anybody from the public outside of those who have identified themselves and have a role in this meeting? Is there any resident or Section 8 resident who'd like to say anything? All right. Then I'm going to move on to old business. And 7A is the monthly report from Ken Schultz. Ken, you're here?
No, Linda, he's not. I'm here.
Okay. Okay. So Maria Stout is here. You all have had a chance, I hope, to look at the report from Ken at Imagineers. Does anyone have any questions on that? Adam?
not specifically the report. I guess maybe Maria, you could help shed some light on some confusion that's been occurring in the daily maintenance, rather. How could I best say that?
The day-to-day maintenance?
Correct.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's not something that I speak on because that's through property management. So if you give me what your concerns are or if there's any questions, then I could relay that to Ken.
Sure. Largely my concern is it seems that there's a inconsistent point of contact as well as manner in which grievances or open work orders are being handled. So I just like to understand that our relationship is young here. So I just want to move forward in a positive fashion and develop some systems that set us both up for success.
I will
address that. So Adam, maybe, thank you, Maria. And if you would bring those concerns to Imagineers and maybe you could set up a conference call with Ellen and Ken and Mike, and I think Chris is over Mike, and that would be a really good way to address and start setting those up. I know that you tried with the letter that you had Ellen write, and it doesn't seem to have gotten a lot better.
Right. So that's why I'm bringing it up here, Maria, because the layers of management on that side of the house, if you will, are, let's say things are getting lost in translation. So I'm hoping that you can bring it to the attention of those that can affect change.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Any other questions? Ron, I know you're brand new. Anything here on this report that you might have a question about in general?
Obviously, Linda, I just got involved, so I'm going to just say no for now. And okay.
All right.
Yeah. Then, Linda, I didn't see the report, Linda, so I don't know, but I do get questions from the residents about the Section 8 issue with Steiger. And I know that when we had talked with Ken way back in maybe June, they were thinking there might be a resident meeting by August or September. That hasn't happened. I don't know where that is.
You know, that was something that I was going to actually raise tonight. Maria, I don't know if you are in a position to discuss that at all.
I know that, you know, we received information in regards to what folks have paid and all of that recertification. And it's something that Ken and I need to review. It's on our agenda. We just haven't gotten to it. So hopefully, you know, tomorrow I have a meeting with Ken and, you know, we'll discuss it and then we'll get back to you as soon as possible within the next couple of days. So, you know, we're scheduling that meeting with the residents. We want to just be very clear because for some of them, there's confusion in regards to what they could be paying and the ability of also a reimbursement.
Sure. And honestly, I hope that you would come back to us at the board before you would go to the residents because we need to understand. I know that the agreement that Ken and I made with the folks at HUD was that we were going to project-based the whole unit. Not everybody obviously is going to get refunds, and some of them will, but until we all have a solid plan in place that we're comfortable with, I'd rather not go to the residents. But there's some residents and you know who are going to get a significant amount of money back.
Yes.
And you know, Joan,
Madam
just to
Chair,
go back to you.
Yay. Yeah. You guys
Madam
good?
Chair. Oh, good.
What happened?
Here?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It's 6:41. Mr. Lisi has entered the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Bob, we're down to under old business. the monthly report from Ken Schultz at Imagineers. Ken is not here. Maria's here. Okay. Adam was addressing the issue of some of the problems and the need for resolution for the problems that we're having with the maintenance program. She's going to take that back. My suggestion was that there be some kind of a conference call that Adam sits in on with Mike and Jimmy and Chris and Ken to kind of hash some of that and to set some of the boundaries and the conversations back and forth, which I think, you know, have been a little bit lacking. But we talked about that. Joan asked about, because the other issue that's still pending for me at Imagineers is the project-based vouchers over at Steiger.
Right.
Whatever figures that we had from Jamie Berriman, we were finally able to get and turn over. And now it's probably been, I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 months. The agreement that we have with HUD, Ken and I had with HUD, is that we would project-base the whole site, but we can't do that until we sit down and figure out what monies are owed and to whom, and have a plan to pay that back. And then we can sit down with the tenants and we can move forward with the rest of the project basing.
Okay.
What had happened too is COVID came along. So that kind of put a hold on everything too.
Well, it does make it harder to meet, but I mean, if we could just get the figures and if we could get the plan with Imagineers, then we can figure out how to meet with the tenants. But I think that's something that has to happen between the board and Imagineers before we take it to the residents.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Bob, did you have any? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Maria, this is Adam Pacheco. I was wondering if you'd be comfortable discussing Imagineers' role in the FSS program and how you see that moving forward, and what the impact to the Derby Housing Authority might be, given what you see.
Yeah, so Janet's not on the call, correct?
Correct.
Janet Wortman?
Yes.
No, with the accountant, she's not, no.
So yeah, my understanding was that there was a plan, a potential for a plan A where Laura's hours would go down to like 23 hours without any of the benefits because of the difference in what the grant amount is. Mm-hmm. And then apparently there's a second plan B after the board decides what plan of action is going to be taken for the FSS coordinator position, if the secondary one would be that have Imagineers then, you know, take on that role for the FSS coordinator position.
And what is the cost impact to the Derby Housing Authority between the two plans?
Yeah, I don't have what that dollar amount would be.
I hope you can appreciate it. It's very hard for me to pick a path and ensure our financial stability without those numbers.
Well, I can tell you that the original grant, last year's grant, was $62,864, and that's been cut in half to $31,000 and change. So what some of the money, because it took us a while to understand the impact and the dollar amounts of the cut, some of that money has been spent for the month of January and for some of the month of December. So
no, it can't be for December.
Okay, so then it was just January.
You cannot take money out of the new grant to pay for the old grant, what was left.
Okay, so we're
so
about
that money
3 weeks into
is on us.
Okay. So we're about 3 weeks into the new grant. So it would be 31,000 minus 3 weeks to Imagineers to run the program.
And then they
can only run it on the grant money. We can't pay above and beyond the grant.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to ensure, I'd like to hear from Imagineers that they're not going to send us a bill for additional hours.
I hear you.
Right. I don't believe, and I'll confirm that, Adam, but I don't believe that would be the case.
So there's going to be no additional invoice from Imagineers, whether we keep our employee at the 24 hours or we don't. The cost is the same, is what I'm gathering from you right now.
Yeah, and let me confirm that, Adam. I'll send an email tomorrow once I confer with Ken.
Okay, please do.
Thanks, Marie and Adam. Bob, did you have any questions on Ken's report?
Yeah, I agree with Adam, but, you know, we've dealt with so many grants that, listen, he knows what the grant is, $31,000, and, you know, anything above and beyond should be on their dime.
And it also will be minus whatever was spent on Laura already. We have paid her medical for the month of January.
He has to know that.
We're
going to have to talk with Janet.
Yeah, we understand that, Ellen. We just need to know moving forward how the most responsible manner is and what the financial impact is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other discussion on Kent's report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we'll move on to Joan's report. Joan is the resident service coordinator. Ron, you've all had a chance to look at her report.
Yes.
Hi. Any questions? I'm sorry, Linda. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I can tell you that Joan let me know that. She's helping people register for their COVID vaccines. She's done a great job in getting a lot of our residents registered.
Actually, Linda, not to correct you, we just had the Zoom meeting with Griffin Health yesterday, but they have to get a designated call-in number line, and that won't happen till tomorrow, maybe Monday. I was on a Zoom with them again today. We're hoping to have our first COVID for 75 plus sometime next week, because Griffin is getting 2,000 vaccines and that she wants dispensed immediately so they can get renewed week after week. But right now, we're just waiting to get the call line so people can call and make the appointment so they can track the amount of vaccines they need. So I may not know tomorrow, it may be Monday. I was hoping it would be today, but it's a lot of things going on for Monica. And we're very fortunate that she approached us because we have her nurses coming out doing the blood pressure clinics. So she reached out to us to start this program to get the vaccine going. So. And there was another I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the governor's report this afternoon on television there was a number.
Yes, yeah. It depends on how many are coming to what sites, because Griffin is doing all the state employees throughout Connecticut. So they've hired 30 vaccine nurses just this week. So, you know, it's a big program, but I really would like it to come to our residents because many of them don't drive. For the ones who drive, they can just call Griffin, get on the line, and they'll go get it. But many of them don't drive, or it's a problem getting there. So having it on our sites would be great. The only site that's up in the air is CC because of the construction. So I have to meet a couple of people up there tomorrow. Doing research, paperwork and stuff. So I'll see if it's at all possible that we could do CC also, because there's actually more residents at CC that don't drive than at the other two sites.
Okay, all right. Construction should be finished at the end of the month. I can tell you that.
Oh, okay. All right. It's come a long way, certainly, because, yeah, it's quite amazing. But she needs a lot of space because when they get the vaccine, they have to have someone observe the person for 15 minutes to make sure there's no immediate side effects. And then, you know, and we, because of social distancing, we can't have a lot of people in the room. So, you know,
sure.
It has, the logistics are a little more complicated, but we'll certainly make it work so people can get vaccinated.
Perfect, perfect. Any other questions for Joan?
No, it was very good, very well done.
Oh, thanks. We're lucky to have Griffin as a partner. They are terrific, so.
Absolutely.
Nice job, thank you.
All right, so we'll move on to the update on CC Manor. Ellen and I went to, I believe this will be the next, it was the next to the last construction meeting. They're beautiful. We did the walkthrough in the apartments. They've got, I think the electrical and the plumbing inspection, one last inspection. And then Carlo needs to go out and do a final inspection to issue the CO. There's a little bit of work left in the community room. There was questions about where the grab bar is in the bathroom. It may have to be moved. I think that the refrigerator is not in place and there's a little bit more cabinetry work to be done, but they're telling me within 2 weeks they should be done. So we're going to be planning some kind of a ribbon cutting ceremonial kind of an event. It would be nice, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody needs to come. Commissioners, you need to come and see the buildings. You're going to be so impressed.
Beautiful.
The bathrooms are huge. Yeah. Oh, the room, the three units are huge.
Oh, they're lovely.
The bathrooms are huge. They have a pull-down seat in the showers. They're walk-in showers. Really, really nice. And then everything is at a lower level for people with wheelchairs. Including the community room. Generators in, they need to do a generator inspect, but it's pretty well ready to go. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and Linda, just an FYI, because I'm there a lot, the staff there have been really very, very pleasant to interact with. The construction guys, they're really, they're very nice to the residents. We had a few issues, as Ellen would know early on, weren't wearing their masks. But because the laundry room was open and still in there, I kept saying, you got to wear your mask because you don't know who's coming in. But they've been very, very nice to deal with, very cooperative. They see me coming in and I say, we got our masks on, we got our masks on.
You're like the mask police.
I feel like the high school monitor. Yeah, it's the same thing on site. Right. They see me coming and they're fishing for their masks, you know. So, yeah, but they're very... very well peopled construction guys. They're very good.
Wow, that's nice to hear. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
We've been really pleased with them.
Yeah.
Any questions?
No.
All right. So then we'll go down to discussion of monthly cost of maintenance services as provided by Imagineers. Ellen didn't put in all of the invoices, but you can, if you look on the vendor payment history, it was about $7,000 plus
almost $8,000.
Yes, yep. Plus, you know, when we had to call in specialists. So again, I'm just saying, let's keep an eye on it. Let's keep having the discussions and make sure that it's cost effective and that we're getting what we need.
Yeah, Maria, are you still on?
Maria?
Sorry, I was unmuting. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I was just taking my notes.
That's fine. With regards to that, in my earlier commentary about needing to create a discussion about a more common understanding of the maintenance, the costs therein, and which costs need to be borne by the housing authority versus which ones Imagineers going to take on, and which what disciplines that your staff can handle, and which ones need to be subcontracted out. And who bears the responsibility for that bill? When it's determined it needs to be subcontracted out.
Okay.
Furthermore, we had an incident regarding an asbestos cleanup in a maintenance room due to an error that was, it's an improper action by, sounds like a plumbing apprentice. So the DHA was forced to pick up the cleanup of that. And well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, it was cleaned up and our residents are, you know, not going to be affected by that. I'm again concerned about the cost, and I want to know why I, as the customer, am bearing the cost of what I perceive to be an error created by an employee that was not mine.
Okay. I've added that also too.
Thank you.
Ellen, is there anything that you want to add?
No, Diana's been, we deal with Gina, Mike, and Jim, mostly. Maria doesn't have anything to do with maintenance.
But I think she's caring about
but
this.
But Adam, if you could come down, we could talk one day, and I could show you different things, and we could talk.
Oh, I want more than just you and me in the room.
Okay.
Understood. Let me just say you the conference call is going to be with Ken, Ellen, Mike, Adam, and Jimmy. Is there anybody else? Maybe Gina, Ellen.
Well, I know Diana does a lot of the stuff with Gina and Mike and Jim.
Okay.
She's involved in it all a lot.
Okay.
I just want everyone working from the same sheet of music, Maria, so we can all anticipate costs, budget appropriately for them, and we eliminate surprises and disappointments.
No, understood.
Sure. Mike has a supervisor, Chris, too, and I think Chris has in the past indicated that he wanted to be folded into any kind of discussion, so I think that's important, too. So add him to the mix.
I will. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Maria. Any other discussion on that? All right. Hearing none, then we'll move on to new business. Approval of agency plan submission to HUD. Maria, do you want to talk a little bit about that? I know that last week we did the public hearing last Thursday at 6:15. Bob joined us. It was Maria, Bob, and I. There wasn't anybody that came in from the public. So, Maria, go ahead.
Sure. So one of the comments that was made, because we talked about, we publicized the agency availability, the plan, the agency plan in a public notice. So that's 45 days before the actual hearing. So we have public notice, we have the public hearing. And then in addition, as well, because Derby doesn't have a resident advisory board for the HCV program, the Housing Choice Voucher Program, what we do per instructions from HUD is that we take 20% of the participants and we invite them to review the plan and to make comment. And we did that and there was no response, you know, no suggestions, no comment as to the agency plan that was done last year, that five-year plan, because Derby is a qualified PHA, which means that it's a PHA with a combined public housing and HCV units of 550 or less, and it's not designated as troubled, such as Derby is considered a qualified PHA. So there weren't any comments, but there was a suggestion that the agency plan, along with a questionnaire, sent to the participating property owners in the program. So if everybody's in agreement, then we would, for next year, we would solicit the landlord's input as well for any recommendations or suggestions as to the plan. So I've written that comment. There is an attachment for the resident advisory plan. We just keep track of, you know, was there any comments, what was done with the comments, you know, that we keep track of. So that's been inputted into that attachment for the resident advisory board note. And then the requirement for the qualified PHA plan is to submit a certification on the civil rights certification. So that was submitted to HUD. So we've completed then the requirement for the PHA plan for 2021.
Okay, any questions for Maria?
I'm good.
Okay. So we have to vote to approve the plan. Is that correct, Maria?
No, the certificate, that was kind of done last.
Last time.
We did it last time. I want to say we submitted that in October because it was delayed from the previous requirement of the five-year plan. And HUD actually sent the verification or the certificate or the letter approving. And they really don't approve, but it's that process of the submission of the five-year plan for Derby. So we received the letter from HUD. So it's just the requirement to do the certification form, the civil rights certification form.
Okay, thank you. All right. If no other questions, then I'll thank Maria. You're welcome to stay the rest of the meeting or to log off as you wish. Thank you always for your hard work for us.
Thank you, and we'll get back to you on the issues that were discussed. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, Maria.
You too, bye, Maria. Bye. Thanks.
Bye. Bye, Maria. Thank you.
So we'll go down to 8B, which is approval for the Board of Commissioners meeting schedule. You have the meeting schedule in your packet.
Yep. Anybody I'll make a motion. Well, if there's no questions, I'll make a motion to approve the Board of Commissioners meeting schedule for 2021.
Okay. Is there a second? Adam, maybe?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
All right. Thanks. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you. So we'll go down to approval for employees' holiday schedule. You have that in your packet. Any questions?
Is this consistent with last year or what historically we've done?
It is.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, let's let it play out then.
I'll make that motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, go ahead, Adam.
I'll make a motion to accept the Derby Housing Authority employee holiday schedule as presented.
Okay. And Bobby, second. Second?
Yes, I will.
All right. Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So that brings us to approval of Ellen Oskowski's hours to carry over from 2020. We've done it for her in the past. She's carried a large load this year. COVID didn't make it any lighter. Ellen, do you want to talk about your hours?
Ellen,
I
make a motion to approve the carryover the hours. You've been doing a yeoman's work. Thank you.
Amen to that. Yeah. All right. Adam made the motion.
I'll second. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Discussion on the motion? Thanks. Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Election of officers. You know, we do this annually. I didn't reach out to anybody. Nobody said they didn't want their jobs back. So.
As long as you're back.
I'm good with the status
quo. I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we lost our secretary. Maybe we'll just hold off and give Ron a little time. You know, at some point, too, we have to go back and do the election for the resident commissioner. We got to pass through everything. all of, we had a waiver through December, and I see in an email that I got everything that was waivered up until December has been carried over because COVID is not any better. So at some point, we're going to have to address that, and we're going to have to hold an election. But for right now, it's the four of us, and we'll give Ron a little breathing room to decide if he'll take on the secretary's position.
I'm glad we have the time to breathe, if you will. Do we have Kathy's playbook on running the election?
We do.
Excellent.
We do.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, we use the League of Women Voters, and I think Joan will be really helpful to us. So yeah. When we have to deal with it, we'll get it done. I'm hoping, you know, maybe around June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's warm and it's easier to do it, even if we have to socially distance, we can set things out outside. So.
Yep. Yeah. Hopefully everybody's vaccinated. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, amen to that. So then, can I have a motion? So this is what the commissioners would look like. I would remain the chairman. Adam would remain the vice chairman. Bob would be the treasurer, and we're going to give Ron some time to think about the secretarial position. Can I make that as a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that too. Yeah.
Okay. All those, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Discussion of grant amount for the Family Self-Sufficiency Coordinator. Laura, are you on?
I'm sorry?
I was asking if Laura Wabna was on because this relates to her, and I was hoping that she was here. And that a good chunk of the conversation could be moved to executive session with Laura present.
She's not on the Zoom. Is she with you, Ellen?
No.
Okay. All right. So you know what the issue is. The grant funding was cut in half. I think we have two choices. One choice is to offer her the reduced schedule. It would be, Janet had said originally 23 hours. We've used 3 weeks of that already because until we have this meeting, we weren't in a position to give her a letter telling her that she was moving to part-time. I was hoping that she would be here to speak for herself. I think she will find part-time difficult.
Well, my two cents is if there's no financial impact from the Imagineers, then mm-hmm. then offer her the part time. If they need to capture those funds entirely to run the program, and they can't go to her, then we have a harder decision to make. And well, quite frankly, the federal government made it for us. But
correct. Correct. And
I agree. I agree, Linda, with Adam about offering Laura, you know, the 23-hour position, even though it's not something we want to do, something we just we have no choice.
Well, I want that position. I'm okay offering it to her as long as the arrangement stays the same.
Yes.
Where engineer supplements her work, and where there's a level of supervision and instruction and the job's still getting done. You know, if they balk at that, and then they say that no, we need those funds in their entirety to manage this program in its entirety, then I think we have to ensure that the program succeeds.
I couldn't agree more.
But so, now should we check with Janet, because are we going to be able to give her the 23 hours a week? Because don't forget, now we're into January. We've already paid her medical benefit. So that money's already spent out of the grant already. So is there going to be enough money to give her 23 hours a week?
No, your point is, well, I think we're going to have to do some math and sort out how many hours.
Yep.
And so if she says no, I can't. I can't take a part-time position. Do you want me to bring this back next month, or can we make the decision? Can we make a decision tonight? I really, really wanted her here tonight.
Right. I think it sounds cruel to say, but I think the kindest thing to do would be to lay her off so she can get the unemployment benefits.
I agree. So I will have that conversation with her tomorrow, and we'll move forward. And so then, in a form of a motion that we offer her a part-time position.
Let me ask a question first.
Sure.
Okay, so if we lay her off and now Imagineers picks up, you know, what's up, they're going to be able to pick up the remaining because we've already paid January 3 weeks plus benefits. They need to know that because it's not going to be $23,000 then, correct?
Correct.
It's gonna be less than 23 hours.
Right, so they need to know that, you know.
Correct.
Imagineers.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. It's here. At the moment, what makes it somewhat easier is that we don't have a full contingent, and that's why we're in the position that we are. There was, I think, a minimum of 25 or 26 participants that we had to have, and we have not been running with that. And we've known for a while that that was going to jeopardize the grant. The problem for a while was that we didn't have an open wait list. So she had to work with the families that were already Section 8. And how many times can you say, do you want to be in a program to the same people? If they didn't sign up the first two times, they're probably not going to sign up the fourth or the fifth. However, since we've opened up and more people are participating, I was really hopeful that other people would make up the difference in the numbers. And, you know, that Laura hasn't tried hard. I think she has, but it just didn't happen. And when HUD looked at the numbers, this is what happened. I went back to Ian Tink. Ian is the consultant that we asked to apply for the grant for us. And I said, you know, Ian, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And it had to do with the numbers. With what we have, Imagineers should be able to manage the caseload if it comes to that.
Well, I'm confident they can handle it. I just want to make sure there's not going to be a financial impact to them doing
You're something. Right.
All right. I'd be happy to have that conversation with Ken tomorrow. How will I report back to you? Or what are you authorizing me to do? Because if she's not going to stay, then if she's not going to stay on in a part-time position, I would like to resolve it and one last day, let her finish out the week and then start next week, either at 20 hours or 19 hours, whatever Janet says, or we move it on over to Imagineers. I don't want to drain any more money. And I don't mean to say it that way. It sounds cruel, but I don't want to take another full-time week off the grant.
Okay. I'll make a motion authorizing Chairperson Fusco to engage with discussions with Imagineers and approve a plan for the management of the FSS program that allows for Laura Wobno to continue in her position in a diminished hours capacity, or to assign all FSS responsibilities over to Imagineers, provided there's no additional financial impact to the Derby Housing Authority.
Okay, I'm just taking notes on them. Hang on one second. There's no additional impact.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I'll second that. I'll second.
Bob, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Go ahead. Just to make it a separate motion, you know, provided that that motion or your decision to award, if necessary, all of the duties of managing the FSS program to Imagineers, I again want to make a motion to authorize Chairperson Fusco to lay off Laura Wobno, provide if her duties are no longer needed by the Derby Housing Authority.
Okay. Second on that?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Yep. Thank you. I know that this is difficult.
Yeah. Yep.
But I appreciate that. All right, so we're going to go down to item G, which is a discussion regarding assistance for Ellen as she works on the state elderly recertifications. You know that every January she does research for the 106 residents that we have, or we're pretty close to 106. Last year, we gave permission for 20 yeah. hours for Daisy Torres from, I think, Stratford, the Housing Authority, to come and help. Daisy, I understand, is willing to help again. Ellen, do you want to speak to your need?
Well, I mean, I have a lot more going on, too. I got all these apartments that I have to rent. We got the new apartments. I have to speak, you know, figure out all that. We have the burnt apartment that I'm still dealing with them with the insurance company and all that. I don't have time. I mean, last year I would go in like 6-7 in the morning and I would be there till like sometimes at 8 at night. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's past practice, so I don't see need. I mean, not to continue it. We need to continue to give Ellen that help.
I agree.
So okay.
So Ellen, do you have any idea how many hours would be helpful to you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take. It's very time consuming. You have to put each person, all their information into the computer. And then you're not done when you're done with that. Then you have to go into another section and you have to do a whole thing up for them on that. Then you have to make all new leases. I mean,
do we know how much Mr. Torres is going to cost us? You know, per hour?
So
how many hours would it
probably be the same that it was last year. I can't even remember what we paid her last year. It wasn't that much, though.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember either.
And just Ellen and Linda know that I'm a COS. I would be glad to help Ellen in whatever capacity I can. I'm helping the residents now with the research, getting their paperwork ready. I understand the process. I'm a COS for HUD, so I'd be glad to help. And if there's no issue with money, I don't even mind help doing it with her.
Daisy comes in because she knows the PHA web system, and that all has to be.
Yeah, well, that takes about 5 minutes to learn. So I would just need to. And I'm just telling you that I'm certainly willing to help you.
And I appreciate that, Jim, more than I can say. The issue is that we've already got you working over your hours, your grant hours,
that's
and you're
right.
not taking salary for a good chunk of that. So,
well, it would also help me to learn the full circle of being a HUD background. You know, the system is income, asset, and medical. It's pretty black and white, but I think that, you know, Ellen's process is a little different. And if I knew the whole process, it would help me help the residents before they come to her. But that's, I'm just telling you, I'm open to that.
Stay elderly though, it has nothing to do with HUD.
The process is similar. Your, you know, whatever website you're using, whatever software is, you know, a little different. We used one site, mm-hmm. so I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm open to help you, Ellen. And I'm
okay.
glad to.
Thank you. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
You need a motion to allow the Housing Authority to use her again this year?
Yes. Correct. And let's say at the same rate we paid her, I can text you the numbers tomorrow.
All right.
You think 20 hours a week, 4 weeks gets done? Or
20 hours a week, 4 weeks? Yeah. I don't know, Ellen.
20 hours a week, 4 weeks? Oh, I don't.
Well, that'll get us, listen, at least that'll get us to our next.
That'll get us started, yeah.
Okay.
And then if happens after that.
All right, let's do that.
All right, so I have a motion from.
I'll make that motion to hire her at no more than 20 hours a week, maximum of 4 weeks.
Oh, no, she wouldn't be 20 hours a week.
I was going to say, you're nuts.
What's it? It's 20 hours?
No, not 20 hours a week. No,
it's 5 hours?
No.
You're talking about 5 hours a week?
No.
Ellen?
I'm going to leave.
Whatever day she could come in that week.
Okay, so it's 20 hours for the month.
Okay, we'll leave it at that for now. Yep.
Okay, at the dollar amount that we approved last year.
To assist Ellen and work on the elderly annual recertifications.
I'll second the motion.
Is there a second? Adam, thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Ellen, your subsidized housing coordinator's report is next.
Yes, we have 31 vacant. That should be leased up for February 1st. We're just waiting for her to bring all the paperwork in. I sent a letter out regarding 56. That's ready. I'm waiting to go. I sent a letter out regarding that. And I'm just waiting on the other ones. We'll have a couple more empty in February. In 18, I'm waiting for them, for the fire one, to finish up there.
So how many vacancies do we have at the moment?
We have number 31 at Steiger and 56 at DC Manor. And then 18 is the fire apartment at Guardiano.
Okay. Right. And then for March 1st, we'll have the three new units. Okay.
So post our email with Imagineers and, you know, sharing your concerns. I saw their reply. It sounds like we only have two units open right now. Do you feel like they're being more responsive? They're engaging better in turnover?
As far as turnover, yeah, we're going to have a few more at the end of January.
Right. Well, I want to make sure that they're flipping them in a time frame that works for us generating.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're flipping them. We're paying for them to flip them. We got one guy that comes in and paints, and we got another guy, a couple guys sometimes working besides that.
Okay.
You know?
Good. I'm glad to hear they've been more responsive than they were initially.
Any other discussion?
No, just one thing. Alan, the ServPro invoice for $17,000 was that the fire?
Yeah, that's from the fire. They actually got two payments.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And they sent me another bill today for another $8,000. So I've been dealing with the insurance agent on all that stuff too.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Any other questions for Ellen?
No.
Okay. Nope. Then we don't need the executive session.
No.
No. So we're at adjournment. Do I have a motion? It is 7:26.
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ron,
thank
welcome,
you.
By the way. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I look forward to working with you guys.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to working with you too. Give me a call and I'll give you a tour.
You got it. Have a good night. Have a good weekend, everybody.
See you, Ronnie.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.